This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 149. Today we're talking about how to have tough conversations about finances with your spouse.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go.
Well, hello there.
Hey, listener.
Hello, you in your earballs.
Yeah.
We're in your earballs today.
I shared a post on my social media. I shared it to you as well. We are, of all the podcasts in the world, which was like billions.
Or billions.
Millions. I don't know if there's billions.
I'm pretty sure it was billions. Yeah.
We're in the top 5%.
5%.
Yeah. So that sounds pretty great, right?
Sounds great.
That means we're in the top 132,000.
No, I did the math. Oh, okay. We're in the thousands.
We're not in the top thousands.
Yes. Okay, so it must be in the millions.
In the 132,000.
I wrote on Google, what is 5% of whatever the total number of podcasts was? Yeah. And it was something like in the thousands. I was like, okay, I'll take it.
I think it was 12,000 or something.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing the math
right now. 5% sounded a lot better.
Boom.
When I looked at the actual like number, I was like, oh, that's okay. I'll just keep saying top 5%.
No, but that's big.
Yeah, it's big, I guess.
That means if 1,000 people listen to podcasts, one of them is listening to ours.
That's right.
There's a lot of people on this planet that listen to podcasts. And probably, let's be honest, like we'd be probably in the top 1% if everybody spoke English. People are probably listening to podcasts in other languages.
You got to be in a relationship.
Like, we're never going to make the 1% because we're very niched.
Yeah, you're pumping my tires. I like it. Anyways, that felt nice.
We're good.
Thank you, listeners. We should thank the listeners.
Yes, thank you for all 1,000 listeners listening to us. We used to joke about like one. Now we can say we're at least 1,000.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What's been on your mind and heart lately?
What has been on my mind and heart? Well, is this something I want to say on the air? Oh. My job.
Okay.
I know my vice principal listens, and please don't share this with the principal. But I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be in teaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's been really on my mind and heart lately. And I knew going into 2024 was kind of my year where I was like, I'm going to get clear on this decision.
That's amazing.
I'm not sure I'm going to make a decision by the end of the year, but it's now my mind is more into it.
So are you going to do your career, your dreams, become a dominatrix?
No, I was thinking more.
You're still going to put that on hold?
Yeah, putting it on hold.
Right.
I was thinking of opening a sex club.
That we talked about how there was not a lot in Ottawa.
In Ottawa.
Ottawa listeners, if you know of sex clubs in Ottawa, please reach out to me personally.
Ottawa.
Kate and I had a bet. I think there's sex clubs.
Honestly, like go Google Ottawa and the first sentence will say the most conservative city in the entire world, not just country, world. There's never going to be a sex club in Ottawa.
No, I mean,
there's some underground. If it is,
it's only open from like 1 to 2 p.m. in the afternoon on Sundays.
Yeah, like I'm definitely putting a pineapple in the front yard, green light on, halfway up garage, all the signs, like sex club here. Nobody's going to come.
Well, good for you for thinking that about your
career. I'm definitely not opening a sex club.
Oh, right.
It's like, let's be honest, taking all jokes aside. No, it's still going to be teaching, but it's just I want to expand to a larger audience than the 20 sweethearts I teach every year.
Yeah. And you're super gifted.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
that. So you should spread that love with the world. And
helping parents. I'm trying through my Instagram and stuff, but it's hard. It's hard to like get out of that. I feel like I'm stuck in molasses in Instagram. I've got the things. I'm doing the things for the algorithm.
You're rocking it. You're rocking it.
100 views. I'm like, oh, joy. Joy,
you had like 5,000 views the other day.
What? On Facebook?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm taking off on Facebook. That's where all the moms are.
Don't worry about it. Just keep sharing your gifts. I think you're helping a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm at least helping 100 people who are watching my reel.
I think for me, what I always said to myself is I would rather be helpful than be famous. And that's a big deal for me.
And it's not even about being famous. It's just like, well, if I'm just going to if my reel is only going to be seen by 20 people, I might as well stay in the classroom and help them 20 kids.
Well, keep going.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. My conservative city.
Yeah. You'll figure it all out.
Yeah. No, no rush. I'm still going to teach. I'm not quitting right now in case people I work with are listening.
In case your position has already been replaced at school.
No, I'm definitely going to be there next year and probably the year after. This is going to be a very slow burn because I'm afraid to like even breathe
right
outside of school. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's what's been on my mind and heart. How nice. About you, Mr. McDougall?
Oh, I'm just so amazed by our kids. I think that's what it is.
Oh, they're so cool.
Oh, Francis has created an entire arcade in our home.
I know, with recycled boxes and
totally
stuff.
Made of cardboard.
Yeah, today he had a butcher knife though. That was really scary.
Why is that scary? Oh, because that was one of his games, though, like the apple on his sister's head.
No. And he's like, no. It's because yesterday I was using like one of our carving, and what is it? The small knife.
A paring knife.
I was using a paring knife to cut through cardboard because it was just too hard with the scissors. And so today, I guess he thought, oh, well, mom used the knife. So mm-hmm. he came downstairs Aww. With like.
What a smart kid.
A butcher knife. I was like, oh my gosh.
He's a smart kid.
He's so smart, but let's.
And Elodie and I, we went to crafting the other day, and then in her room, she made like 8 craft stations.
I know.
And then we all went in and did crafts all day.
Our kids
are. I'm pretty sure our kids are parenting us.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I could be parented by them. They're good parents.
Yeah. I think we just feed them, and then they essentially take care of us most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, they're staying here for free, so might as well do something interesting.
So that's been on my mind and heart. Just so in love with them, and they're just so amazing.
They're so cool. They really are. I love being around them. I love their energy, and I love just like. Seeing how their little minds work. Mm-hmm. I love seeing them grow, especially Elodie. Like she's our baby, right? Like I have trouble seeing her as not a baby. And now I see her as like this like small human. And I'm like, oh, wow. You're like a small adult human.
Like your own person.
Yeah.
Not just an extension of me
she's
anymore.
She's 7 this year. I don't even want to talk about it. Moving on.
What are we talking about today?
Finances, which is another thing that stresses me out. Oh my God. Just the stress.
I like it. So today
in my body.
We wanted to give listeners a bit of a plan or insight as to how to have tough conversations about money.
Yeah, because I know, you know, when you talk about the top things that, you know, couples fight about, money is right up there with, mm-hmm. you know, everything else, but what do couples not fight about? Let's be honest. But no, but like money is definitely one of the top things couples fight about. And it's also one of the worst kept secrets in a relationship.
What? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I guess we won't share if we spend money. And
a lot of people have like secret stashes of money put away or secret accounts that their spouse doesn't know about. Or like, you know, funds, just in case funds, you know, like.
Oh,
yeah, wow. That's a thing.
Well, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I won't name names, but I know.
Oh my gosh. All right. So,
no, I'm kidding.
So I really wanted to kind of make the most out of this conversation, which is for us, it's when we think about, you know, how we approach our finances. And again, it's different for everybody. To be honest, I think we could be pretty upfront that Kit and I, we're not like super financially literate. Like we're like sitting down and talking about finances all the time is not like super fun for either of us, right? It's not like, yeah, let's have a conversation about money all the time. I think we both grew up with two very different beliefs about money.
Yes.
And that impacts the way we have conversations. And I think for me, I'm okay with spending large amounts of money and having no money.
Yeah.
And I think for you, you're a little more frugal and you like
having an exact holding on amount to money. Of yeah. money in my bank as yeah. a buffer. But it's like, man, the amount of money I want in my bank just to sit there just in case fund is like enough to like feed an army for 6 years. Like
right.
it's not necessary, but it's just this belief I've made for myself, like that, oh my gosh, unless we have X number of money, we're broke. And it's not true. Like,
but psychologically, it does, it lowers stress.
Yeah. But you know, but I was also raised in a home where my parents, you know, my dad came from no money. And so when he did start making money, it was like, hold on to that money, like mm-hmm. just in case, you know, just in case. And same with my mom. She grew up, you know, with a single dad who was on disability for a long time. And then he started working again. And it was just money was not easy for both my parents. So they became like money hoarders.
Right.
And so, you know, the talk was always save, 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 invest, mm-hmm. invest, invest. And so that's kind of what was drilled into me.
Yeah.
And whereas you grew up in a home and you had no money and you guys had an amazing life and your mom found ways to penny pinch and make extra money when she needed it. And she was very open to asking for help from the community and from organizations. And like my parents wouldn't be found dead asking for help for money because they're like very like proud people when it comes to that. And not that there's anything wrong with asking for money, but for some people, that's a very hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. And so I think what I really wanted to help our listeners understand is that you and I have different beliefs about money.
And in most relationships, I'm sure.
Yep, exactly. We don't always agree on how we spend money, right? We have different ways that we spend money.
And different ways we talk about money too.
That's right.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that we have cultivated in our relationship is we hardly ever fight about money, right? And so yes, it has happened where we've had conflict about money, especially when things get a lot tougher. We have had conflict about money. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we openly talk about money now. And it's not always like heated or blaming or anything like that. We're often on the same page.
Yeah. And I think understanding our core beliefs around money, understanding where that comes from and how we were raised and things like that, I think that really helped us with the fighting. Like before, I didn't really know where you were coming from. You didn't really know where I was coming from. And so, you know, before we understood that, of course we fought about money because I was like, you obviously think like me and I obviously am supposed to think like you. Like, that's just how.
Yeah. You were like, why are you always spending money?
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you always obsessed with keeping money?
Why are you saving money?
Like, right.
And so it was like, okay, like once we got on that page and it was like, ah, I get why you do what you do. I get this. That really helped the conflicts and it really dialed everything down. And now we talk about money more in like a business kind of way. Like it's more of like transactional conversations, like, okay, here's the money situation, da 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 da. So we'll kind of share, you know, what we do to stay on track and keep those conversations flowing peacefully.
Yeah. And we really want to break it down to kind of four steps. So if you feel like you're having, you want to have a conversation with your partner about money, but maybe it's, you think it's going to be kind of tough, you can kind of go through these four steps and I think it'll help you open up about the financial situation and also, you know, try to move it in a certain direction, which I think is helpful.
Yeah. But just, you know, before even going through those four steps, make sure you understand how your partner was raised around money, what their core beliefs are around it. And then these four steps will kind of seem less daunting, might be seem less stressful, and maybe you'll have a better understanding of, you know, when your partner might be getting a little frustrated during this conversation or, you know, emotions get high, you'll kind of understand where it comes from.
Yeah. And so the first step is to really understand kind of what your current worry, stress, et cetera, is about your financial situation. And then bring it to your partner and share it with your partner in a way that is really about you, what you're observing, you know, what you're thinking and feeling about that. The way you want to approach this conversation is not about blame.
No.
It's just about what you're currently experiencing and essentially inviting your partner into what their experience is.
Yeah. And I think it's even better here to kind of go through the experience cube, right? Like talk about it as a fact. Hey, I saw our bank account went down suddenly
from this amount to
X amount in the last month. That's got me really stressed out. But this is a fact. I can prove it in a court of law. I see it. It's on paper. I see the money go down, you know? So to say, you know, oh, you're spending so much money lately. Like, well, can you prove that? Is there any way to prove it? Or is this just your opinion that your spouse is spending money?
And so, even the way you're framing it, right? Even if you factually say, like, there's very different to say, hey, I saw the other day you spent $600. That's very different than, hey, I saw there was a charge on a credit card for $600. You know, are you willing to share maybe what that's about or et cetera? And again, you're not now pointing the blame at your partner. You're already into a collaborative idea of like, hey, let's figure out what this expense is and talk about it, right? Exactly. And so how you're framing and really the way you open this conversation is going to be really important because the whole idea is you want to you and your partner to work together as you move forward. Mm-hmm. So whatever that is, and in order to do that, you have to kind of see where your partner's at. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, here's what I'm freaked out about. Here's everything you need to change to make myself feel better. That's not about you and your partner. That's actually just about you, right? And so that's the first step is Again, I love the idea of walking through the experience cube, right? The fact that you're observing, what that leads you to thinking, or the story you're telling yourself, how you feel about that story you're telling yourself, and then what you would like, which is oftentimes, in this case, you know, an invitation to open up and talk about your financial situation.
Right. I'm worried, and I would like to talk about our financial situation so we can kind of get on the same page.
Yeah. The second step
would be to start sharing goals. Yeah. You know, what is it exactly that, where is it exactly that I want to go financially?
Yeah, we're always talking about moving towards here.
You want to move towards something. So maybe your bank account did go down $5,000 last month or whatever. Like, who knows? Like, whatever that number is for you that all of a sudden you're like, whoa, like that's a huge number. Sure. Like, so, okay. To some people that might be pennies. Like, they're like, whatever, went down $5,000. That's like my average weekend. But to other people that might be like, oh my gosh, like we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. And so what is happening? So you can share a specific goal, you know, like I want to make sure that every month we have X amount of money in the bank so that we can pay the mortgage, food, and, you know, our daycare.
Yeah. And oftentimes these, you know, when you're in the situation where you're opening up this conversation, your goals are going to be focused on your priorities first, mm-hmm. and then your desires second, mm-hmm. right? And so you can share both. But if you feel like you're in a situation where your finances need to be essentially like taken control of, if you will, and things need to change drastically, well, then you need to focus on the goals that are priority. And that's what you're saying, which is, you know, food on the table, roof over your head, like all that stuff, your family's health. Like, these are the priorities. Mm-hmm. The priorities are not going on a vacation to Mexico, right? That's like a, I'd like to, but that is not playing, again, depending on the conversation. Now, if you feel like you're in a really great place and you want to have a trip to Mexico and that's the priority, but you realize that you're just spending frivolously every single week, well, then maybe the conversation about the goal to the trip to Mexico is, hey, I'd like to save to do this. This is what I want to experience, et cetera. Now, again, you're always thinking about what you want to move towards and what are the priorities. So it's not like a conversation about, we need to stop spending money. Well, no, that doesn't make any sense. You need to spend money to live.
Why do we have to stop spending money?
Yeah, it's probably would be better to say, what do we want to focus on spending money on? Mm-hmm. And what is, how the goal might be, how do we limit our spending in those specific categories, mm-hmm. right? So I want to make sure that we have enough money for the mortgage and the food to have the kids and the kids' school stuff and health, et cetera. As I'm kind of thinking, it's this amount of money per month. You know, maybe you have some information or things that are really a priority for you. Right. And then that's where your partner would share their own priorities. Okay. Based on that, this is kind of the money that we need to have set aside every month. So could we just look at our finances and make sure we know where that money's coming from? How do we get to that amount, et cetera? How we hit those goals every month in order for me maybe to lower my stress, to feel good about where we're at financially and to make sure that our family is safe and secure.
Yeah. And you're already jumping into the third step, which is create a budget, mm-hmm. put it on paper, put it like pen to paper, or we love using Google Sheets. Like they already have like a million templates already ready. Like, you just fill in the blanks, see where your money's going, make sure you're keeping track of it. If you've set goals, you know, you say, okay, we're only going to spend X amount on groceries every month. Well, every month at the end of the month, like, are you respecting that? How can you go differently to spend that money, you know, and being realistic with your goals also. It's better to aim higher than to keep disappointing yourself and to, you know, like if you're saying, oh, we're going to spend $2,000 on groceries. Well, that in our day and age, that is not realistic for a family.
Depends how big your family is. Depends, what you want to eat, et cetera. And I really want to stress here that, you know, having a budget, like setting a budget and tracking your spending and income, those are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, you know, when they hear budget, that seems like, oh, wow, that's like, I don't know if I want to do that. And so you can start by just tracking.
Be aware of where your money's going.
Yeah, exactly. Just every time money comes in, look at your bank accounts, write down in a Google sheet, write it down on a piece of paper. This is the amount of money. So at the end of the month, you're like, we made this amount of money. This is the money that came into our hands. And then what amount of money left our hands, mm-hmm. right? So what do we spend on? And look at all your spending. Yeah. Just by tracking that, you know, we often say what gets measured gets improved. And so just by tracking that, you're going to be aware like, oh, wow, like we're spend
eating
more
out
than we
way
made.
Too much. Or, yeah, sure. Yeah. And where, yeah, maybe we're spending more than we made. Okay. So where are we spending the most? Wow. Okay. We spent like this much money in groceries. Like, was that truly necessary? Like, maybe there was a few frugal moments where we bought extra food that we didn't really need that month, yeah. or just we spoiled ourselves too much. So.
Yeah. And so you can start at tracking. That's mm-hmm. like a really good idea. Budgeting is a little different where yes. it's you actually at the beginning of the month set a certain amount of money that you're going to spend, right? Yes. And so in that case, if you're like, you know, we're spending $100 on going out to restaurants. Well, if you end up 1 week into the month and you've already spent $100, that means for the rest of the month, you're spending $0.
Yeah.
Meaning if your buddy's like, hey, let's go for a cup of coffee. You're like, dude, we have to have it at my place or you got to buy the coffee.
Yeah.
Because I already, you know, bounced my budget. Yeah. And so that's the idea of a budget. So really think about where you're at. If you're already tracking your spending, maybe move into the budget stage, right? But if you're not doing either, just start by tracking what's coming in, what's going out. So you can start to get an idea of like, okay, this is where I need to cut in order to make those goals that we had talked about.
Right. And, you know, going back to relationships, because this is what we're good at, right? Finance is not my forte, but relationships I can talk about. So if you're kind of the person in the relationship like me who gets stressed out about, you know, budgets, and once those budgets are in place, I'm like, and that's all I can think about. You know, it's very important that you continue to share with your spouse, like, this is causing me stress. I'm very nervous about this, to keep that communication open. Because what happens in our relationship, because I'm more of like the high strung, like stressed when it comes to money, and Eric is very like, whatever, it'll be fine. Like, legit, I grew up with like $1 in my pocket and it's fine. Like, I survived.
It'll all work out.
Yeah, that's it. Like, so having those conversations, it does bring me down sometimes, like not down like sad, but like bring me down from my like panic mode back down to like, you're right. We're going to be okay. It's fine. Like, so make sure that you're talking to that person. Like, and it might not be your spouse. Maybe both of you are like, talk to other people who have a different point of view on money, who are maybe more comfortable with, you know, money and spending it and being okay with like having a little less for a little while. Like,
yeah. And from the partner, sorry to just jump in, but like from the partner who typically is a little more chill about finances and money, you know, if you're that partner, have some grace for your partner who's stressed. You know, for me, what I used to do is try to get you to like stop stressing out. Like, why don't you just chill out? Like, oh, relax. Like, look, you know, and I try to get you not to be stressed. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't save you from being stressed. I would get pissed off.
Yeah.
But really now it's like, it's okay that you're stressed. It's fine. Like, just be stressed. Like, if you want to just sit here and be stressed, fine. What can I do to help you? Like, I'm happy to talk about it. We can bring up our finances right now. Literally, whatever you need to help you out, I know we'll be fine. You know, and I'll make sure that our family is safe and secure and that financially we're okay. And if you want to just be stressed out or worried for a bit, you can do that too.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you are the partner who's a little more chill, allow, like, hold space for your partner, because what you don't want to do is your partner to feel like, every time I'm stressed out, my husband freaks out or my wife freaks out. So I better keep that to myself.
Right.
Right. Because that's what used to happen. Mm-hmm. Every time you were stressed out, I just like stuffed it back and be like, you need to stop being stressed. You need to chill out. So what happened? You just kept all that in.
Yeah.
Right.
And then once in a while, I'd like absolutely blow up, like big tears, like, we're dying. We're not going to be able to feed our family. And you're like, all right, let's sit down and look at the budget. We're good.
and you don't want that. You want your partner to be able to feel safe to open up to you about whatever stresses they have, whatever worries, because that's what you can do as a couple, is you can help each other lower those feelings of stress and anxiousness.
Yeah.
That's what being in a relationship is all about.
Exactly. And that's kind of where the fourth step comes in, which is keep constant communication about this. Checking in. When it comes to money in our home, like, I have to keep track of it. That makes me feel comfortable. I know it helps us. So I have a time set on the calendar every single week where I just go into my Google Sheet, I fill out where all our money is going, and then that helps me see, like, okay, we're doing good. Like, maybe I made this idea in my head that, oh my gosh, last week we must have spent like $10,000 in groceries. But when I sit down and I track it and I look at it, I'm like, you know what? We only spent like $100 this week. Like, whew, okay. So that helps calm me down. That helps me, you know, reassess the situation and not panic about it so much. And then Eric and I will often sit down. We'll look at our finances together, which means we'll look at our accounts, we'll look at our credit cards, make sure what needs to be paid off is paid off, make sure we have the money in the right accounts, and then
we'll everything. Talk about our goals,
exactly,
and where we want our money to go.
Reassess, and then, oh, you know, all of a sudden this came up, you know, and I'd really like to start this specific course or take a specific class. Where can we cut? What can we say no to so that we can say yes to this thing that I really desire? Or all of a sudden, you know, I'm really feeling a trip down south somewhere. So where can we cut back so that we can make that happen? And so having that constant communication, actually putting time down on the calendar to talk about your money. And honestly, it lasts like, what, 15 minutes? Not even. Yeah. Like, especially if you're doing it weekly, it's not hard to do. It's just a very quick conversation. And what it does, it just kind of sets the bar for the rest of the week. And we kind of know where we're at, kind of know where we're going, understand our goals, understand, you know, what we want. And then we can just move on with our week and not have that in the back of our mind stressing ourselves out.
Yeah. And I think I want to share, kind of as we're wrapping up here, maybe a word of caution or warning here, because one of the things to recognize is that, you know, if you're the person that's like worried about money and you're stressing out and you see your partners just spending frivolously, right? They're just spending, got Amazon packages, just, you know, digging up all your doorway. Instead of like just being mad and keeping all that in, or instead of even just blowing up at them and accusing, try to understand what's going on for them, right? Like, seek to understand. Like, for me, like, you know, if we were at home and all of a sudden there was like 40 Amazon packages in the front door, like that would raise a red flag. Yeah. I'd be like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, is everything okay? Like, what are you planning? Clearly in that moment.
What hole are you trying to fill?
And you don't even want to go there, right? But it's like,
you think that. Right. You don't say it out loud.
That's probably what I think. But the idea is like, okay, there's some information that I'm missing.
Yeah.
Right. And so in those moments, seek to understand, hey, you know, I came home and there was 38 Amazon packages in front. Are you setting up for something big? Like, are you planning? I'd love to understand kind of what's going on. Because for me, that kind of put a lot of warning bells in my head. And I just want to make sure, I mean, I trust you. I trust that you make great decisions. So I just want to understand kind of what your plan is. Mm-hmm. Right. And it might be like, I don't know, I was super stressed out. I just kept clicking the buy now button on Amazon. Who knows? Right. Yeah. But then you can help your partner say, oh, hey. Let's talk about this. Let's see what we got to return.
Let's maybe take the credit card off Amazon. Let's take the one-click option off, like, so that it makes it harder for us to buy things off Amazon. You know, let's give ourselves a goal of not going on it. Not a goal, but like, give ourselves a challenge of not going on Amazon for like a couple of weeks. Like, work together and see and seek to understand what is happening in your partner's life.
Yeah, because in these moments, you really want to make sure that you are working together on this common goal, this common challenge, instead of, you know, putting yourselves at, you know, against each other and essentially blaming each other. Because when you get to that place, it's, well, the person who prioritizes saving is always angry at the spender. And the person who prioritizes spending and wants to like experience great things is always pissed off at the saver. And that is not a good dynamic for your relationship. And I think that's where most of the conflicts come up in relationship is that the person who wants to spend is pissed off at the saver, and the person who wants to save is pissed off at the spender. Well, instead, think about how you can work together where you can both get what you want in a way that feels good instead of limiting. All right, everyone, that wraps us up for this week's episode. If you did find value in this episode, leave a review. We always love to hear directly from you. And this really helps us grow our message and really help couples transform their relationships all over the world, because that's really what our legacy is all about. Also, if you are looking for some great resources in every single show notes in our podcasts, there's some resources there for you to grab. So there's our 4 skills to evolve your relationship. There's also our free Facebook community that you can join just for high-achieving men who are focused on learning marriage skills. And finally, if you want to talk to me directly, there's a link there where you can book a breakthrough plan. So you and I can get a quick call to really understand where you're at, where you want to go, and set up a very simple plan to get you started and create some momentum. So all that is in our show notes. Please feel free to jump on those resources and take action. And I'd love a review from you. That always helps us out. Until next time, cheers.